dive right in to some protocol training, and I'd like to start with conference calls because I think it's so important that we have to have a host on the call that is hosting for somebody whose conference call it is. So I'll give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. Stefan, you're really good at being a host. But one of the things is the host leads the call and welcomes people to the call. So a host would be, you know, hi, this is, welcome to the call, and I just wanted to let you know that we'll be getting started shortly. And they're the person that sets the ground rules and starts to set the foundation. And the level of excitement, kind of like the worship team does for the pastor, it's the person who really sets the tone. So every time somebody comes on the call, when they announce themselves, it's this host that's leading the call, the host or hostess, is actually really welcoming you to the call. But let's talk before we jump totally into everything with the host or hostess, because they have to be upbeat, energized, enforce the rules, kind of taking role and doing all that kind of stuff. There's a simple little script for them. So we may not cover the script part here, but I think I have a special place I could put the notes down for the scripts for you, and you can see that. But let's talk about your part. When you call into a conference call, your job is to actually call in upbeat, excited, and help the host or hostess, same way, by stating your name and where you're from. So you might decide to start generating a simple tagline so that you're recognized by your voice inflections, and the level of excitement and how you bring in the energy to the call. I know Stefan checks into the call, and he goes, hey, this is Stefan in California upstairs. And I say, this is Carlin in California downstairs. So that's just where we are located. So we are just, that kind of becomes a signature, and people chuckle when they hear that. So when a person comes into the call and somebody's hosting the call and they hear, hey, this is Stefan from California upstairs, they go, hey, welcome, Stefan, if they got the name. That's what the host or hostess does. But if you don't know how to pronounce name or you didn't hear it clearly enough, then you need to say, hey, California, welcome to the call. So you acknowledge instead of just saying, like, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, give that real personal touch. People want to feel special. They want to feel important, and they want to feel chosen. So show them that you're choosing to say their name or repeat it back and give them that acknowledgement that they're on that call. That makes them feel good. Everybody loves to hear their name. So this is a great way, if you're hosting a call, for you to do that. Another thing that's key importance is to know how to use a mute button. So be in a quiet place, a quiet zone, and mute yourself once you have acknowledged you're on the line. This means no cross-talking, no splashing out your phone numbers, no running dishes and water and yelling at kids and clanging stuff and having conversations where, like, we can hear the television. You got to be, protocol is to give that respect for everyone who's taken time to listen, to give them a nice, quiet call to listen to. We do have people that have their star sixes or star fives on their line to mute. If you know protocol, let me share something with you. You could put yourself on mute if you use the star six or star five in the system that they tell you to. When they mute the entire line, they mute you out. But when they open the entire line, they unmute you. And if you don't know protocol, you could be having a very personal, private conversation or yelling at one of your kids, and you could get caught where you don't want to be. So learn to use your mute button on your own phone. Hit the mute button, and don't count on that star six or star seven. Take control of your call. I really believe in that. And for people who don't have mute buttons today, I'm kind of shocked because the phones are so innovative. At one time, we could never mute anybody out. But if you know the rules, you know how to play the game, because I believe he who knows the rules knows how to win. You can't play a game if you don't know the rules, right? All right, so key importance when you call in. Now, call in, say your name, where you're from. Now, no cross-talking about other companies or spilling out what you're call. You know, oh, yeah, I was in that company. Don't start in that, because whatever call you've called on is a specific call for the host of that call or the trainer that's teaching. You have to be respectful of, too, of that. And that protocol is that they're, let me say this, the Super Bowl commercials cost money. And so why would you commercialize any other company? learn how to talk about other companies without spilling out their names. I used to work with a magnet company, or I used to work in a juice company, or I used to work in a pink car company, or I was with that company that A that ends in way. Learn some creative and innovative ways where you're not giving infomercials or this way having negative talk about another company on your company-specific call. That's key. Commercials cost money. Don't, if you're not getting paid, don't go splashing commercials about other companies. You have people who are newbies on the line. You have people who don't know about that. Or maybe you have somebody in that company. If they hear that, they're going to take it wrong because people don't say what they mean or mean what they say, so they're going to assume probably the worst because that's what people do. So make sure that you're not mentioning the names of any companies by mouth or bad-mouthing them on an open conference call line, okay? Remember that, again, you're only referring to the primary company you're calling in about. And if the training you call or talk in about is generic, that's when you have to learn your creativity. You never get out your own phone numbers across the line or your email addresses or do your own infomercials unless you have, one, had the approval of the person you're doing the calls with or for. When I do trainings, it's something that I say. You can go to biztipsradio.com, and you can get free business tips. I am not soliciting anything. I'm not selling anything, but I am giving a gift that keeps on giving. So I tell everybody that's what I do, and I will use that in my trainings, and everybody normally says that's fine because it's not infringing on somebody else's organization. They don't feel threatened by that. There's nothing that's hurting anybody. When somebody says, "Oh, could I get that? Can I get your phone number?" You need to reference back to the main key person by saying something like, if I was doing the training, "Hey, Carlin, this is so-and-so. I give permission for you to pass my phone number to Stefan. If you don't mind, would you do that for me?" Then what I do is I know Stefan. I'll call Stefan, and I'll give him your number, and I'll connect the two of you. That's how that's done. That's protocol, okay? No negativity, no excuses, no gossip. Everything has to stay upbeat. I always say something to crow about. You come on the call, and the rule is when you're down, get off the call and talk to your support line and talk up. Let them help you through the difficulty you're feeling. This is protocol. But when you're up, talk down. Tell everybody about how excited you are because that's how you grow in your business. So when leaving a call, you need to leave that call once the host has opened the conference call lines and said, "This concludes the call," and says, "Now I'm about to open the line." I mean, you should be the first one to jump in. Everybody can step over one another. It's great to have this level of excitement for the next 20 seconds. Everybody should hear. This is Carlin in California. Good night. This is Stefan. Good night. They should hear everybody who came on going off. And that makes a level of excitement. Don't sit around and wait. And then there's no space, and then you say your name, it's like, whoa, what's going on? Keep that same level of excitement. So let me give you a key thing to do. If you're a leader, and you've been on that call before, and it's maybe an opportunity call, and you thought, I've heard this, but you're there to support the person you've had there, because I always say, when you don't need the meeting needs you. So sometimes you're just coming to be supportive, right? Whether you have a guest or not, always giving a level of excitement. Put your phone down, put your phone on mute, set a timer, do what you have to do. Come back to the phone. If this is a 30-minute call, come back to the call in 20 minutes or 25 minutes. Pick up the line and listen carefully. And when the line gets open, even if you didn't listen, make sure you're still part of that powerful support core group and tell them your name and you're leaving the call. Great call. Good night. Thank you. Good night. Get out there. Let them hear your voice because then people hear, wow, everybody stayed on the call. The same group that came on are still going off. Then there's this level of excitement, and you've helped make it easy for the person who's trying to get their person into the next key part of the training, which would be a three-way call, right? So I've helped do that. Leaders, let me just say a couple key things for you. Giving recognition is important, allowing other people to participate because you are a leader, letting people have the spotlight a little bit. Leaders teach leaders to lead. And so bringing up people who have the ability to lead, be careful on the calls, when you're talking, please make your conversation that you're talking to one person. You're not talking to a gang. You're not talking to guys. You try to make sure that you're talking respectfully to an entire group, but you talk to the group as though you're speaking to one person. So when I'm listening, instead of saying, hey, guys, do you know what I'm saying? Guys, listen. Hey, guys, are you with me, guys? What you're doing is you're making me believe that, well, what you're saying is for everybody, so it's not really that important that I listen carefully. But if you say, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? Are you keeping up with me? Then you're talking to me now. I'm listening. You caught my ears, and I'm all attention about what you're saying. I want to not miss a beat. So make sure that you're doing that. You're going to hear several different protocol rules that will overlap key importance on some of those things. Let's not leave this one out. Address people and try to get rid of the word gang. Don't use the word deal. Don't, you know, get rid of some of those nasty words that are there. And remember that you've got ladies and gentlemen and you've got a group of people, so you can say, you know, now the protocol, just so you know, a protocol rule, a lot of women say, oh, every time I'm on the call, you're guys, 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 guys. I get it. It is a protocol rule in history that as long as there's an entire room full of women, but one gentleman is there, then protocol was that they could say, do you understand what I'm saying, guys? Then that would be grammatically correct. But today we're in a world where everybody wants to be acknowledged. So are you getting what I'm putting down? Is this making sense to you? Is this clicking with you? Is this resonating? Are you with me? You don't need to say guys or you even. You can still make it sound like you're talking to me personally and each person personally if you'll just learn some of these little tiny tips when doing your conference calls and your emails. So we'll cover that in just a minute. Remember that it's fun to welcome new members to the call. Either have your guests introduce their guests to the call, like, hey, this is Carlin, and I've got, you know, my friend from California, Stefan, is on the line. Stefan, say hi. So he might do that too. Hey, hi, I'm here. You know, that kind of thing.
Hi.
We start coaching and teaching those new people how to follow what to do. That's the best way to do it. It's like when you're going to go to, well, how does your church dress? If I'm going to be your guest, how do they dress? So it's your kind of guidelines to set those rules down. So tell your guest when you call, dial in the number, and I'm going to call out your name so I know you're there. Shout out your name with us, you know. Make these people feel a part of the crowd, okay? Getting to your call early is key. So if you're there 5 minutes early, at least, you know, the person doing the host is always there on time. They're always the one starting to welcome those first few early ring-ins. How cool is that, that you have that professionalism when you have a host doing that for you? Remember I said, leaders delegate, let other people do different things that really give other people a place to shine. You know, marry the talent and use the talent. Okay, and it's important that you open the conference call afterwards, like I said. Leaders, do that. Don't be afraid to do that. And stay on your call. Don't hang up. Stay on your call. And then disconnect the call within about 15 to 20 seconds so there is no crosstalk left available to happen on your call. You want to also make sure that in your releasing control, you also take smart control of what you're doing so that the people can follow you and know with confidence, you know, that you're watching out for the best of everybody. All right. I would like to talk about the three-way call. A lot of people say, you know, when you do a three-way call, what do I need to do? How do I do it? Okay. If you've never done a flashover three-way dial, I always suggest that you practice with your support line, your enroller, whoever brought you in, learn how to work that phone. And, you know, it is a test of a challenge to all of us, whether we've done a three-way for the very first time or we're doing a first-time three-way on your own cell, to learning how do we hang up, how do we disconnect, make sure everybody's disconnected, and then you can always call back if you need to. I have some protocol rules for me that I set down and I kind of work with, and then most of the leaders kind of adopt this, but you need to find out in your group how your leaders work well. I like to use the tools that are available, instant messaging, MSN, Skype, Yahoo, texting, the phone. The phone is where you're going to do a lot of live calls with, right? But with the other tools we have available, before it used to be, hey, Carlin, will you be available at this time? I want to make an appointment, and I make my appointments at the top of the hour, the 15-minute mark, and the bottom of the hour, and the quarter till. So I know exactly in my time frame what's going on. But if you tell me you're going to call with a prospect on the line, you're going to do that three-way call and bring the prospect to me is what you're going to do. So you dial your prospect first, and this is when you do what's called edification. You do protocol edification by lifting up and edifying the person who's going to do the call. Okay, so there are some support line that says, well, you don't need to make an appointment with me, just call me. But maybe you don't know which person you're going to get on the line, so you can't use the words he or she if you haven't made a pre-appointment, right? That's when you have to learn the word, I want to tell you a little bit about this person, and you have to learn the things about, here's how they operate, and you need to tell them, let me tell you a little bit about them. And so you're never saying he or she if you don't know who your three-way call is going to go to yet. But here are some very simple edification rules. If you and I have made the appointment, and you know, here's how you can use the word she. If you've made an appointment with Stephen, you can call he. Okay, that's great. Then you can change the wording. The things I'm about to throw out to you, all you have to do is pick three to five things that you'd like to say that you believe are true for you. So the rules are like, let me tell you a little bit about this person I'm going to get on the phone. They love to have fun. Like to have fun, love to have fun. You can use the word either way. Everybody loves love, and like is a good positive word, so we're going to say that. Love to have fun. They know how to earn money. So this person knows how to earn money. And they have a track record to prove it. Another thing, enjoys helping others, is professional, loves people, is very busy. So what you're making your statement is, in saying some of these sentences, these pieces, you're building the edification about that person. And I like most is, and or one of the things I appreciate most is about, and this is where you can say the person's name or say he or she, or they are always willing to help me and countless others in my business. Or you can say, the person I'm going to get you on the line with is helping me to grow a very substantial business, and teaching me all the things I need to learn. It's my pleasure to get you on the line with them. Stay here. I'll be right back. And that's when you do the three-way. You do your edification before you contact the upline. You don't need to get the upline on the phone and waste that time to talk about your support line about them right there in front of your prospect. It's not necessary. But in that same frame, let me tell you this, because it's very important. You never edify the prospect to your upline. It's not your job to tell the upline all the wonderful things about the prospect. It's the privilege of you connecting your prospect to the president. So let's say we're calling Ronald Reagan. Boy, I wish he was still around. But let's say we're calling Ronald Reagan. You're going to call, and of course, I'm going to answer the phone, and he's going to say, hello, this is Ronald, and you're going to say, hey, Ron, and you're going to introduce, I happen to have somebody on the line I really would love for you to talk with. And when you do the introduction, even though you're on an informal basis, you turn and say, Stephen, I'd like you to meet Mr. Ronald Reagan or Mr. Reagan or President Reagan. How are we going to do the introduction? And you're lifting up, edifying, and anointing that respect. So the person trusts you, they'll automatically respect the person you put them on the phone with. This is the power of a three-way call. So that third party is about to do a job for you. So here's another key protocol. Once you've handed off the call, let the prospect and your support line build their rapport and relationship and listen carefully how the connection begins to take place, how your support line starts to get in and build that friendshipping and relationshipping in a small amount of time and start asking questions, and then watch how they lead them right into what did you like most about the call that you heard or whatever, however it's happened, and watch how they'll ramp your prospect up and get ready to close them right into the sale for you, because that's what happens. They'll find out if they're right for the program, right for the business, and if it's going to be a good fit. Then your support line is going to give you instructions as to what to do. Now make sure when you get off the phone, you do exactly what they told you. Do not try to resell. Do not try to retalk, reconvince, get excited. You're excited because you got a prospect. You got a fish on the line. But learn how to take the hook out of the mouth and put them into and throw them right down into this wonderful water canal, into this great big pond where you're going to start to help them get trained and know how to get fed. And just please don't try to undo what your support line has done. And by all means, do not interject in the middle of the call. You've got to be really quiet and listen. Just as hard as it is, put tape over your mouth, whatever. Don't interject. There's nothing worse than when I'm working very hard to build a prospect up, bring them down, and get your lead where you want them to go, for somebody to open their mouth and slide them right back down the hill. And then I have to literally work twice as hard to continue my process. So, and then there's times that I get off the call, and instead of disconnecting the three-way, I've told the people I'm working with, keep me connected, even though they think we've hung up. This way I can listen, and I can see if the person I'm working with is truly following directions. It helps me to critique leaders. Listen carefully. It helps you to be able to critique the person you're working with to help them to get better at the program. Okay, leaders, here's something else on a three-way call that's really crucial, and it is protocol. And leaders, you pick three things to do. But it's your job to edify back to a three-way, to edify the person by saying, you know, I don't know, you know, you're going to find out how they met them, but you could not enroll with a better person. He or she or, you know, so-and-so, say their name, takes really good care of the people. They really care for their team. They work really hard for their business associates. They're willing to assist you to where you want to go. They're dependable. I'm really proud. You can be really proud that to be sponsored by. And so if you'll use three protocol pieces to re-edify, let me tell you what I have come to learn in my 38 years of this industry. I find it amazing how people have later come back that I work with and said to me, you know, I only met so-and-so because they were doing, it was a cold call and this and that, and I didn't really know them, but when you told me about them and how they are and that I could be proud to be with them, I all of a sudden felt such peace that you were saying something like that I felt very confident that I was on the right kind of a team. So I'm letting you know, as important as it is, for you to be edified to this new prospect, it is crucially important for you to put your stock and edify the prospect, the prospect's enroller also. This is a key component to helping the whole process flow. And again, I do have scripts that are very, very simple, and they just follow a simple protocol procedure on how to do a three-way, the appointment, how to lift up and edify at that time. And I can make sure that you have all of those components that you need. So I just want you to know, we may not cover all of that on this particular class, but you'll get those things from me, because it's important to help you in your business to feeling really good about what you're doing. So now, let's see, we've talked about that. You know, there's a protocol also of learning how, when you talk to somebody, if it's not for them, how to actually tell them you really enjoyed them and lift them up as a person and say, I'm looking to do business with people like you, and I know this may not be for you. Who do you know that this would work for? And how to literally go for getting referrals. That's a key component. That's one of the things that a lot of insurance agents learn right away, is how to actually get referrals to continue working their business. And you need to learn how to do the same thing. Okay, here we go. Protocol on emails. Are you ready? Oh, my goodness. I know emails are almost coming as seems like it's obsolete. However, there's new people coming to emails that are moving. The new people that are coming to cell phones are getting away from their emails. So it's all a transition of life. So we have to be patient that not everybody knows the rules. So let's talk about some email edification and protocol, shall we? Don't hide behind your emails. I want to say that again. Don't hide behind your emails. Put your name, make a professional signature line that tells about who you are, your name, your phone number, maybe a career message or statement about you, that runs a small infomercial about you at the bottom that puts your site, that somebody can learn either about you or a free gift that they can give. Do a little blurb like that. And know that this is crucially important, because when people send out emails, if you hide behind your emails, they scroll to the bottom right away and say, who is this? They scroll down, they look. If there's no contact information, it's all just solicit, go visit my website, I'm excited about this business, blah, blah. I don't pay attention to any of those. They all go into the delete file. So if I don't either get a personal phone call or recognize the name at the bottom, I don't pay attention. And I really, truly like the personal phone call before I even see the email. Because that tells me, wow, they care enough about me to call me for us to talk, rebuild our rapport and relationship. Yeah, I'll pay attention to your email. Why not? Because it puts me on a whole new level, right? Okay, when sending out emails, when forwarding an email to somebody, and you see the forwards and the forwards, and cut and paste and go ahead and put your information. Always goes at the bottom, not the top, the bottom of the email. So cut and paste the email out and make it like a new email before sending it, so that you're not getting all of those forward lines, and it's just getting with a lot of little arrows and arrows and arrows. You want to make sure that you're kind of making your email look clean and it's directed really for somebody. You take a little bit of care of the time that you've received the email. If you notice that in an email that you get, people have put everybody in their address book and it's in the to section, whoa, you just got a database. They just gave that to you. So listen carefully now. If you hit reply all, that is considered spamming. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to spam. That's what spamming is, sending out bulk emails to people you don't know. Have we all been on the spam list? I bet we have. So I don't like it. You don't like it. But you can take those emails, and you can click individually to send an email to each person. And if I sent you an email that said, hey, my name is Carlin, your name came across my desk, I don't know you and you don't know me, yet I'd like the opportunity to share with you or talk with you or show you, I'm not spamming. If I had 50 emails that came across my desk all in a clump and I broke them apart and I sent out 50 individual emails to people I don't know, even though I don't know you, it's not spam. It's only spam when there's a group of people who don't know you in that section. So don't sit and report people like, oh, I got spammed because you got an email from somebody you don't know. They're trying to make an introduction. And, you know, now we have Facebook. People are doing that. Social media, they're doing that. They're learning how to talk to you behind the scenes and build the relationship. This is all what part of email is, too, because we have a lot of things on social media, right? So we'll cover a little bit of that. Sig line's important. So here's the way you get rid of your, you got a nice signature line, and you're going to send an email to somebody. If you're going to send it to more than two people, send it to either yourself or your spouse or whatever, whoever is in key importance or a support line leader, and put the rest in the BCC section. That's a blind carbon copy. That means they cannot see each other's email address. If they hit to reply all, they don't go to everybody. It only goes back to who sent it. That is a way to protect your database. So in this industry, you need to be smart because everybody is a lead and people pay money for leads. So why are you giving leads for free out of your database? Because if you don't contact them, somebody else will. I have a lot of leads in my database, not only that I've paid for, but leads that I've graciously, people just gifted to me. And if I decide I wanted to go cherry picking, I could do that. All right? So keep that in mind. And then again, this one is huge. You're going to hear this over and over, especially in what we do. I know we are in the age where people do the cute little faces, the cute little this, and the symbols and that, and this means something, and, you know, 143 means I love you, and I know all this great stuff. However, listen to me carefully. You still have a lot of baby boomers in the world and a lot of professional people, and proper grammar is crucially important to a lot of us. So please use proper grammar. In other words, don't say there's a meeting and use the at sign when that at sign, it just takes two letters, A-T, okay? You're going to be at this address, not at, because it's very confusing when other people know that with a link like that, they should be able to click it and it should go somewhere. So you want to make sure that you're using the proper kind of grammar, at. Don't use 3,000 exclamation points. Truly, it's as close to the word that you're using and just one single exclamation point or a period or the colon. It's, you know, and dot, dot, dot. Let me just say this because I did a cute article on dot, dot, dot. Everybody, I see people write dot, dot, and then they do something, or they go dot, 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 and they do something. It's three dots, guys. That's it. That's it. Can you believe it? It's three dots. So it's dot, dot, dot. If you start your next word right next to the dot, it's a lowercase letter. If you start it with a space, it's an uppercase letter. Is that cool? If you just learn this, then you kind of go, whoa, I now know the dot, 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 how it works. So what's fun is if you watch and you read, if something says dot, 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 and then they say, by the way, then the word by should start right next to the dot. Okay? But if you say dot, 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 here's where I want you to go, then it would be capital H. See? So those kinds of things, there are people who look. I find it interesting, school teachers who I talk to who say, man, I can't believe how many network marketers are out there. They're idiots. And I'm like, no, we're not. People just are not, they're just not thinking when they're doing stuff. So I want you to think so that you look sharp and professional and give people reasons to want to pick up the phone, call you, deal with you, and are impressed by what you put out there. Okay, voicemail, leaving voicemail, texting, leaving messages. I'm going to cover all of that in a protocol right now. I love this. There is nothing worse. And you know, I'm going to add this to the last one as well because I told you some of it overlaps. When giving phone numbers and telling people things, always is done in a 3-3-4 fashion. We learned how to use numbers, and it's always your first three numbers go into a bracket. And your next three numbers then are followed by a dash and then four numbers. So when you're dialing a number, because there are people who look at something and still dial, they're not stumped by this dash, dash, three numbers, dash, three numbers, dash. That's really tough when you're trying to follow the phone. So learn how to do everything grammatically correct. It's really in brackets. And I know they started going to texting, so they said, oh, well, now we could just do a dot, and then four letters. No, it's really not grammatically correct. It's just everybody's decided to create and make their own rules. But there still are grammatic rules in grammar that we should follow. So writing it is crucial, but on an answering machine, it's very important because people get three-way calls, interrupted calls. I have been on a cell phone now where I've heard my text come through, and I've missed when somebody was saying their phone number to me, and I've had to ask them to repeat it. So not knowing, in case that happens, you need to be smart. So when you leave your number like this. You can contact me at 951. And I'm giving people a chance to write it. It's a good place to take a breath, okay? So that you can get an idea. Write it as you do it. 743, and then you take another breath, and then you say 2475. So when you're leaving your number, you can do it like that, and then you're going to leave it twice. So say that number again is 951-743. Then you can say 2475. So you can change the way you give the number the next time. Remember, they're writing and they're listening. Have you ever got an answering machine message where it goes, yeah, my number is 951-743-2475. Have you ever got that? You rewind because you're trying to hear all the numbers because it's not working in your brain because that's not the way you truly learned it. That's why I'm telling you, our brain already goes into a function mode of listening and what it can retain gracefully and then put those numbers down on paper and move to the next thing. You can literally remember seven numbers or hear them if given in a right fashion. You may not even need them twice, but we're doing it twice for two reasons. One, we don't want your prospect to rewind. And two, we want to make sure in case a call comes in, a three-way call or that interruptive beep, that it didn't leave out a number of your phone when these people really may want to contact you back. When contacting somebody, when you get a voicemail message machine, you heard Stefan say at the beginning, well, you had this little giggle in your voice because your voice is really key to getting people to respond back to you. You see, if I talk, hi, you've reached Carmen and I'm not available, and then you go, hey, Carmen, this is Andrea, you talk with that, I'm not really going to make a connection with you. Somebody who's soft-speaking and you're loud, or you got somebody who talks a little bit slow when they're talking on their answering machine and you talk way too fast, they are not going to make a connection with you. So one of the first key things in our industry is your telephone and learning how powerful that tool is. You need to want to make that voice-to-voice connection. So can you understand what I'm about to tell you next? There is nothing more frustrating for me when I pick up a phone and the answering machine goes like this. You've reached 951-743-2475. At the sound of the tone, leave your number. You know, I'm laughing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know who this person is. I don't even know if I have the right number. Okay, I check my number to make sure that, yeah, that's the person who said that's who that is. but I don't have anybody saying their voice or their answering. Hey, if you have a telephone, leave an answering machine message. I want to know who I'm calling, don't you? Out of courtesy, leave a fun or just, I don't even care if you go, hey, this is Carlin, here comes the beep. You know what to do. I don't care, but put your voice on your answering machine. You will help a person who's now calling you. The thing we do is we make a connection with our voice. So how about when you get an answering machine that goes, beep, I'm like, really? I don't even know if I dialed the right number. So it's a frustrating thing for me when I'm serious, taking my business serious, wanting to seriously get a hold of somebody who said, call so-and-so, and this is my response that I get. I almost think to somebody, what are you hiding from? So stop hiding behind your voicemail message machine also, and get out there and tell people who you are, especially if you intend to make money or be in this business or want to purchase something or want to, please make this a point to change this. If nothing else, start changing this today and tell other people, share this call, share this show with them, tell them you've got to hear this because you need help in this department because this will make you better at your business. So if your prospect calls you and you sell something and that's what they hear, I want you to think what they're going to be thinking because that's what you're putting out, and what we put out is sometimes what we get back. I'm not a telemarketer, so I'm not worried. I don't do my business as a telemarketer. So here's the next step. When you call to talk to somebody, always call as though you already know them. Because if I said to you, hey, this is Carlin Rhodes, and I'm calling you for, you go, I don't know her. But if I go, hey, so this is Carlin, or I go, hey, because I say your name, Carlin, if you're not that person, they go, hold on a second, hey, Blake, it's for you, and they give the phone to that person. If I got the right person, then that's great. Now, listen, if you're calling for a guy, don't say to a lady's voice and say the guy's name, because that's really, I've had people say to me, you know, they call for Stefan, and then I pick up the phone, I'm thinking, really? They go, Mr. McCarroll. I'm like, really? Can't you tell I'm not a mister already? That's crazy. So anyway, that's the difference between telemarketing and what we do, right? So when you call somebody on the phone, you say, hi, this is Carlin I'm looking for. And then if I get the wife or somebody, then they'll, dad, it's for you, then I get that. Also, some nice protocol is if you leave your message with somebody, you say, listen, who am I talking to? Get the name of those children who talk to you. Get those people to respond to you. Is this his wife? Is this, you know, is this her husband? Get those names because, you know what? I'm just going to let her or him know that, boy, you're a great secretary. Now I've just raised the level of appreciation to the person taking the message, and I pretty much can guarantee if they're taking it by phone or taking it by hand, that they're going to deliver the message because I just told them, I'm going to let them know you were great on the telephone and you did really good. So here's my number. Can you repeat it back? And I get kids to repeat my number back to know that they wrote it properly. Sometimes I've said, okay, just to make sure I gave you that number correctly, could you read that back to me? Then I find out maybe they didn't even write it. They go, okay, could you say it again? And I'm like, sure. Then I say it again slow, and then I say the same thing. Now, just to make sure that I gave it to you correctly, can you read it back? And guess what? They can read it back. So you see, you have to overcome the obstacles before the obstacles put you on defense that you don't even know what's going on. And always give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe their pen ran out. Maybe they didn't have one. They thought they could do it by memory. Just be gracious and go again. Do it again. So, texters, here we go. When texting you, when you're getting texts, sometimes Stefan will send a text out. I'll send a text. Somebody will send me a text. You may not see it at that time. When you see that text, reply back to the texter, would you? Just simply state, okay, or the letter K, or got it, or thanks, or I'll pass it on, or something, so that that person knows you did receive it. It's a two-way conversation. The rule normally goes like this in court. It's the one who doesn't communicate that drops the ball. That's the one that's in jail, that's in trouble. So keep the communication flowing properly. When texts are sent out to you or messages come to you, just when you get them to say got it or thanks or a smile face, just something out of protocol. And if I see distance has come in between my texting, there's distance, I write, just saw your text or got it or I'm on it or thanks, something. If you're a texter, though, and you're texting out for advertising a call or trying to let your team know about stuff, I don't expect your team or my team to send me an okay, 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 okay on every person who gets it. If you're texting to a group, that's entirely different. But as the texter texting to a group, please make sure you do a few things that are key. Tell people the date, the time of the event, or whatever's happening, and then put everything in the next portions. The phone number, or the conference call line number, or the code that they need. Put all of those things in the same section together. Don't separate it up, because your texting phone, like, you can't say there's a meeting in and say your city and state, and then come down and put the address. Because if you click the address, if you're somebody who wants to go to that meeting, you can't just follow it on your navigating maps of Google Maps. You have to have the address, city, and state in the same section. So when you click it, your navigator works for you. Okay? So let's make sure we're making what we send out a pleasure to receive and convenient for your prospect, so that your prospect, your team, your organization, those new people are thrilled to get it, not annoyed to get the text, because it takes more work for them to actually come through and follow through and get that information. So you can send out the same kind of information, changing the bottom of the info or put the top of the info and then the information. But do it consistently. And if you need help, then I'm happy to help you with that. Some people say, hey, read this over. There's times I get texts from leaders that if I don't like them, of course I change them. And if they have 1,000 exclamation points and spaces in the wrong place, I try to clean it up before sending it on. But how nice if everybody works a little bit harder just to do it right the first time, then we have the utmost confidence that we're passing stuff on that's good. Good or bad, whatever we do, duplicates. So why retrain our team when we can just learn to do it right, right? And again on texting, proper grammar, same thing, same rule applies. Okay, so now let's talk just a little bit about your protocol on social media. Social media, you don't want to splash your companies. Somebody is a single company, or you do several different things, or maybe your wife does something or the husband does something. You don't want to put all of that, on and sending messages about every single thing because you're going on that news feed. Allow people to get to know you. You want to send private messages and build rapport and relationships. Then there are people who join a group, and then all of a sudden they start getting every one of those groups to join them. And then they glean from the people out of the groups that they join, or when they join somebody, they start gleaning their people out of that. Okay, it gets carried away, and it does get out of hand. But I understand we're all trying to work and build, but you still have to respect the fact that some of those people, the old rule is, like, some people get all mad. Like, those are my peeps. They don't belong to anybody else. I have the right of way. Well, I don't fully agree in that, but in the same sense, you don't go cherry-picking all off of somebody's main site or something like that. It's just not really nice. You wouldn't like it done to you. So, but if you start rapport and relationship with somebody and something builds to that, then that's great. And that's normally done through private messaging. Just messaging somebody. You can go on and do entire searches and find people. And, you know, there are so many people. You don't need to cherry pick. My husband used to say, you know, you got to be careful not to play in your own backyard the wrong way, because it makes for dirty business. So the nice thing to say is this. There are so many people that are out there on the world of Facebooking and Internet and LinkedIn that you literally can do searches and find out who is in ABC company or XYZ company. And you can find those, and you can glean just from the – and who lives in this state and who lives in this area, that you can do those kinds of searches, building rapport through that kind of relationship, which brings new people, new blood to the table, instead of trying to circulate somebody's old blood kind of thing. And maybe somebody contacts you and you build a report. But look at this, all done through private messaging first, and then you never splash right across their site. Again, most of the people that I deal with have always said, hey, go to my site and let people know about your radio show. because our radio show, again, we don't sell anything. We don't promote. We don't ask you to buy. We're not trying to make money off you. We're trying to educate you so that, you know what? I want my industry that I'm very, very proud of to be clean, to stay clean, to look good. I don't want people to say, oh, you're one of those kind of people. I don't want to do that. And the people who join that don't know the protocols or the rules or how things work, if they knew, they wouldn't do them. So it's about helping everybody get educated. Now, this has been a pre-impact class, so let me ask you this. Do you think you can actually go teach everybody what I just taught you today? You probably, the rule is normally most people have to hear things 5 to 7 times to retain 50% of what I've shared. So I don't expect you to be the training expert, but the gift of giving the trainer is free. So sending people to thebiztipsradioshow.com, biztipsradio.com, you can give this training and these tips to your organization and people you know and people in this industry who want to get better and better. You can give that free. You can give that gift. And guess what else it's giving to you? Time freedom. Because you're not having to waste your time to teach what I'm teaching. You can spend time with your family or do the next activity needed while the people in your organization or people in your group are getting trained properly. And you can know that everything that's being taught is being taught the same way to everybody else. So it's not like something's getting left out. So let's learn a couple cute things today, right? The golden rule is do unto others, not before they do unto you, or as you would have them do unto you is normally what it said, right? I love the platinum rule. The platinum rule is do unto others the way they want to be treated. And the reason is it takes time of building great relationships in your business to know what people want, all right? And to do that, I always say this, to do what I've taught you today, you're going to have to proceed to grow consistently. You want to do a couple important, and here's how it goes. You want to move up, then you take the time to do the activities that's going to get you there. You got to pay up. In other words, you're paying with your time and things that you do. And sometimes success costs money and success costs. There's nobody getting out of buying success. We're all going to pay a price for success. So you decide where you want to do that. But remember, everybody has to pay up. So you can take longer or shorter, but you will pay by the time it's done. So just pay up and then show up. Show up to the event. Show up to the thing. Show up to the training. Show up to get the stuff. Get all the things that you can get to make you better in your business. Bring up your company. Bring up your team. Bring up your support line. Bring up your product. Bring up what you're excited about. And make sure that you're always talking up the good things about everything I just mentioned, from the company, your product, timing, opportunity, your enroller, your support line, everything available. And then remember, when you're talking up and you're bringing these people, bring them up to the support line, learn how to, I'd rather say listen up, but some people understand it better when I say shut up. Learn how to listen. So that you also know in learning how to listen and grow, you also learn how to hang up because you got to hang up that phone. So once we've hung up on a 3-way call and things like that, no need to call the support line back and regurgitate the entire conversation or call. Let them go on to helping the next person do what you were told to do. But remember to lift up your support line, thank them for their time, thank them for what they're doing. They are helping themselves by helping you because that's the rule. Help enough people get what they want, and you will get what you want. And there are those support lines, as me and my husband can tell you, that love to serve. And we know by being good servants, it'll work well for us. But it all comes down to learning about the ships in your business. And so let me leave you with this today. We are in the shipping business, not about the product. It's not really about the company. We're learning how to friendship, courtship, relationship, no bullshipping, so you can do good leadershipping, and then you can become a great mentor. You can mentorship. And then real shipping and receiving will occur in every aspect of your life, from family to business to the enjoyments of life to strangers. Everything will happen and fall in line if you learn how to master shipping in your business.